Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, folks, the world is supposed to begin its countdown to Armageddon today. Millions will die in some sort of horrific event that signals the beginning of the end. That is, at least, according to Harold Camping. Mr. Camping of Family Radio needs to resign and turn the Family Radio ministry over to me. Seriously, he is an embarrassment to authentic Christianity. Perhaps, finally, his followers will wake up to the reality that he has been deceived by seducing spirits drawn away into heresy. Today, he will be shown to be the false prophet we've known him to be for some time. May 21st, 2011 is the beginning of the end of Harold Camping. He predicted the world would begin the final chapter today. He has pulled this before, and he weasels out of it with double talk. One caller nailed him, though. When he asked Mr. Camping if he would promise to refund everybody's money on May 22nd, if or when his prediction is proved to be false, Camping, of course, dodged the question. Mr. Camping, admit it. You have forfeited your credibility. You are an embarrassment to those of us who humbly accept Jesus' own declaration that no man knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man appears. And no amount of double talking is going to get around the simple fact that Jesus made it clear the event that begins the end game will occur suddenly and without any warning other than our constant exhortation to be ready, quote, for you know not when, end quote. Anyway, here it is. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert! Quote, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him, end quote. Deuteronomy 18:22. It's the test of true prophets, and Mr. Camping is exposed as a false teacher, and all who have been following him need to repent and get back into church, which he has labored to pull you out of, under the teaching of someone who will not handle the word of God deceitfully as he has done. Oh, yeah. Now, talking about false teachers, here's a cheeky fellow who says that almost half, actually says, quote, at least 11 of the 27 books, end quote, of the New Testament are a forgery. He knows that because some ancient counterpart to a modern-day Harvard snob heard the Lord's disciples preaching and scorned them as, quote, unlearned and ignorant men, end quote. You can take a look at Acts 4:13 for that one, and what's his name? Here it is. Bart Ehrman of Wheaton College. That's Billy's school, isn't it? Yeah, Billy Graham. He later denied hell. So anyway, when Mr. Ehrman reads the New Testament, it is clear the letters were written by very intelligent individuals. So he concludes that since these were noted to be unlearned and ignorant men by scoffers and scorners of that day, could not have possibly written the portions of the Bible he considers to be intelligent, therefore they must be forgeries. You see, Jesus did not recruit his preachers from Harvard or Princeton. Those schools long ago betrayed their charter. Jesus recruited his disciples by their personal talents and gifts. Those who snidely remark, yeah, like Judas, should be reminded he identified Judas as a devil from the beginning and dismissed him from his ranks before he commissioned his disciples to take on the world with the gospel. But anyway, the likes of John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John, the rest, they didn't attend the corrupt religious establishment schools of their day. So the snobs who did looked down on them, as they do today. But hey, these guys were as unlearned and ignorant as Abraham Lincoln and the eight other presidents who never attended college. How about George Washington? The closest thing he had to a college degree that we know about was a surveyor's license he received after completing a course at Williams and Mary. Harry Truman, Andrew Jackson, I mean, the list goes on and on. This has got to be one of the most ignorant arguments I've ever heard coming from the seat of the scornful. Of course, this fellow admits Paul was very well educated. by the standards of his day. So when he compares those letters he believes were written by the Apostle Paul to some of the other letters purported to have written by Paul, he notices some variations. And one of the key items of difference is, you ready for this? The length of the sentences. Oh yeah, what a bright guy. These yahoos have been around for a long time. This is nothing else but the old German rationalism of the early 1800s regurgitated from the bowels of hell. These guys are useful devils. Let me explain. But first, look, in response to this nonsense, many decades ago, a fellow took Shakespeare's writings and showed that you can find the same sort of differences in his writings from one book to another over a period of time. In fact, you can take any author you want and scrutinize his writings over a period of only, a period of 10 years, and you will notice the same sort of differences. In fact, some authors purposely alter their cadence, their sentence length, and so on, as a device to keep the reader engaged. Too much conformity to a certain style has the effect of a monotone speech. Hello? The only reason these guys get so much attention is that, it's news to the unbelieving world when some self-described scholar comes out with a discovery that discredits the Bible or the Christian faith. Of course, you'll never hear them give any credibility to anyone who discredits the Quran, which teaches an eight-day creation, and that the earth was created before the heavens. Or that it teaches that Muslims are encouraged by Allah to subdue by force all the world to their control. Anyway, if you want to make a comparison of the writing style of two books purportedly written by the same author, separated by only a period of a couple of years, where the differences are so vast that it is obvious they were clearly written by different authors, well... Compare Obama's first book, Dreams from My Father, with his second book, The Audacity of Hope. Now, folks, there is an example of obvious forgery for you. We all know Bill Ayers wrote the first one, and probably Obama's daughter wrote the second one. It certainly wasn't written by a Harvard graduate, not even a Harvard graduate who has a lot of, quote, other stuff to do, end quote. Thank you. My dear listener who called to correct me, I quoted Obama explaining why he has no time for important things like satisfying the eligibility requirement of the Constitution or intervening in an NFL labor dispute as him having other matters to attend to. But he actually said, as I was corrected, he actually said he had other stuff to do. Yeah, well, you know, he's a Harvard man, so what do you expect? Too much other stuff. Yeah. Stuff like stuff us all into his Marxist Obamacare program. Such guys like as Harold Camping and his fellow heretic, what's his name? Well, let's see, Ehrman. These characters are annoying but useful devils. You see, they are used by God to distinguish those to whom we ought to give our attention from those we ought to ignore. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. It's in the Bible. God actually uses heretics on purpose to expose the fakes and point us to the real deal. Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. Quote, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you, end quote. Hey, do you hear the shepherd's voice calling to you? Those of you who follow Family Radio's false prophet Harold Camping, do you hear him saying loud and clear, Harold Camping is not someone you should be listening to? He's a wolf cleverly disguised in sheep's clothing, or a very deluded sheep. He's devouring you, or feeding you to the devil. Yeah, like he's going to return the donations he scared out of those who listened to his nonsense when May 22nd turns and he has been proved to be a false prophet. Anyway, in case you don't know it, this show airs on Saturday through Tuesday in various cities. May 21st is the first airing of this broadcast, and it's broadcast number 317. And I'm telling you that, quote, the end is not yet, end quote, Matthew 24:6. Jesus. I'll be right back.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheinbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. I'm lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. It's easy to remember. It's our brain massage message hotline. You leave me your message and number, if you leave your number, by the way. If I fail to get back to you, forgive me and try again. Call 1-888-770-8000. Caltrans is the state outfit here in California that takes care of our roads. Sections of property along the roadways are dedicated as right-of-way under the control of Caltrans. Citizens in my own hometown have launched the Old Town Orchid Veterans Memorial Project, and we want to display a memorial to our vets, and the memorial includes the display of Old Glory, you know, our American flag, the national flag. And we want to erect this memorial on some property controlled by Caltrans. Caltrans has decided that flying Old Glory is a political statement, and their rules forbid using property under their control for making political statements. Now, this should be of interest to all my listeners in every state where we broadcast. This nonsense is coming to a city near you. Actually, this spirit has already infected the minds of folks in Texas, Alabama, Nebraska, and in cases I'm familiar with, and no doubt in all of our states. But look, this is nonsense. Flying the American flag is not a political statement. Honoring our vets with a public memorial is not a partisan party or ideologically controversial statement. It's our national emblem. It represents the freedom we all enjoy, and it honors the vets who died or who laid their lives on the lines to keep those freedoms secure. This is becoming nonsensical. Actually, it is bewildering to us, but it's not quite so mysterious. Listen close. You know, we elect officials whose heroes are Karl Marx, Pol Pot, Mao Tse-Tung, leaders who bow to Mecca and hate the American flag symbol, hate what it symbolizes anyway, traditionally. You know, we elect guys whose bloods are flag-burning terrorists like Bill Ayers. We wonder where this is coming from. These are the people who set the agenda and tone for our various government agencies, such as Caltrans. Oh yeah, their perverted, twisted anti-American sentiment and ideology filters down and takes hold and interferes with our daily lives through the vast bureaucracy that has grown so large. It has created an absurd situation where the government now, that's taxpayers by the way, employs more workers than all other companies combined. And through this vast network of the government bureaucracies in this country, they extend their anti-American flag-despising attitude. I know they're going to say, we don't despise the flag. What's the matter with you? And they're going to do the same thing that liberals do all the time, you know, just try to make us look like idiots. Don't let them fool you. This is a bunch that thinks the American flag is, that waving the American flag is a political statement. I want you to think about that. They see it as representing a particular ideology as opposed to the ideology of some others in the country. You see what I mean? Other than the flag belonged to all of us. You see, to them, it no longer belongs to all of us. It only belongs to a certain group, a certain ideology. Only a certain group of Americans are flag wavers. And therefore, to wave the flag, you see, that promotes a certain ideological group in America, those who are distinct from those who burn it. They have turned flag waving into a political statement like that of burning it. They've made it identifiable with a particular ideology, and they don't believe it's appropriate to encourage that ideological demographic to get to make their statement on public land unless they're willing to also allow other groups like Aslan, Raza, how about the Communist Party of the United States, and there is one, or other anti-American groups to make their statements, as if that's on a par with those who want to present the emblem of our country? This is nonsense. Don't fall for this trick. Don't let them make being American just another political faction in our own country. I mean, this is getting to the place where we're going to have politicians running under the Mexican flag, the UN flag, and then another party running under the American flag. This is getting crazy. Waving the flag is not a political statement. It's a national emblem. It represents everyone who honorably and legitimately lays claim to being an American. This memorial honors our veterans for their service to that flag, and that is a duty of all Americans. Anyway, here's the situation right here in River City, that is Orchid, California. A great conservative state senator named Tony Strickland, and we have a few of those here in California, by the way, on the left coast. We have some pushing right. He introduced a bill, and it's number 443, in the California Senate that will instruct Caltrans to back off and allow the memorial to be built on public land. It has been widely received. I mean, even the more progressively inclined members of our state representatives recognize the idiocy of Caltrans on this. And among those, there are those who just for political expediency recognize the political lunacy of opposing something like this, so obvious. But these devils are clever, you see. They have passed it right along, and now it's in the last committee that needs to approve it so it can go to the floor and be voted on. And that's the Appropriations Committee. These characters have tucked it away in something called the, quote, suspense file, end quote, which is what they do with bills they don't want to vote on. Because, you see, if they have to vote on them, then they go on public record for or against it, and they don't want to do that, so they buried the bill. We need to put pressure on these characters. Now, the only state senator who voted against this, openly voted against it, is Senator Christine Kehoe. She's the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, I understand. We must make it very clear to her that this is nonsense, that she needs to move that bill out of the Senate trash compactor to the floor for a clear up and down vote. I'm going to ask you to do something for our vets, for our freedoms, for our country, for old glory. I want you to call State Senator Christine Kehoe and let her know you want that bill approved by her committee and passed on to the floor for a vote. You can just say you support Senate Bill 443. Senate Bill 443, and you want it voted on by your representatives. Flood her office with calls. Even out-of-state calls would probably make an impression. And here's the phone number, 1-916-651-4039. That's Senator Kehoe. The number is 1-916-651-4039. Senator Kehoe, 1-916-651-4039. Tell her you strongly support Bill 443. Do it today. Don't put it off. If they're not in their office, leave a message. Fill her voicemail with messages. Let her know this matters to you, because if you don't, you just gave up more ground to the devil, trying to take our country from us, trying to rob us of our national pride, trying to make a flag waving some sort of partisan political statement when it's about God bless America for all Americans and God bless our vets for laying down your lives to protect our liberty. Call her, Senator Kehoe, 1-916-651-4039. I'll be right back.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur. It's time to wrap up your brain massage for today. This has been a unique show in some ways. It's one of those times I wish I had more time. There really is so much to talk about in so little time. Did you hear about the schools that are arranging secret abortions for underage children? Oh, yeah, kids as young as 14 and 15 years old, and in some cases where the father was 18 years old or older. Something called statutory rape. Did you know that we've learned Obama was almost aborted? In fact, well, here's what has come out. Barack Obama, a senior, that's Obama's dad, when he was 29 years old, got a young high school girl, a Kenyan girl, pregnant in Massachusetts. Statutory rape. Now, this was before Roe v. Wade, so he sent her to London to have the baby aborted. An act of murder. Was Dunham, Obama's mother, pressured to take a trip to London, but refused? Well, we don't really know. She wasn't a minor, so far as we understand it, and perhaps that made a difference. But anyway, you look at this. Here you have a president fathered by a character who commits statutory rape and covers it with an act of murder. Back then, sane people understood that killing an innocent baby in the womb was an act of infanticide. And as we know, Obama Jr. was conceived out of wedlock. And none of that disqualifies him from being president, by the way. Okay, I understand that. But the irony of it is that this is the same man who has said that the brutal, heinous act of partial birth abortion is a, quote, legitimate medical procedure, end quote. Huh. You know, and this is the man who stood alone opposing the Born Alive Protection Act. I mean, like father, like son, I don't know. This is the man who said that if one of his daughters became pregnant out of wedlock, he didn't want her to be punished with a baby. Those are his words, quote, punished with a baby, end quote. You know, as apparently from his point of view, his own mother was with him. And this is absurd. And you want to know what's even more absurd? Some hearing me comment on this are going to say I'm being racist. I'm not kidding. Right here in my never-to-be-stained-with-nicotine-fingers is an article some liberal declaring birtherism is dead because Obama has released his long-awaited long-form birth certificate. He's explaining how birtherism got such a foothold in our country, and he explains it as racism. Oh, yeah, it's all about racism for this guy. And by the way, for many others, I'm just using this as an example. I could pull out many samples. Now, some of this is just strategy. Okay. Strategery, as Rush would say. Yeah, I know it comes from a Saturday Night Live satire to poke fun at Bush's tendency to mispronounce words and stuff like that. Stuff like that. Okay, some of you are following this real well. I'm proud of you. Anyway, some of this is just low-level argument strategy. Attack your opponent repeatedly on whatever issue you can to put them on the defense, no matter if it makes sense. No matter if it's a non sequitur or whatever. It doesn't have to fit the actual discussion. Just attack, attack, attack. Racism, racism, racism. No matter what you say about Obama's politics, the rebut is racism. I'm telling you, people are going to start getting tired of this. It's going to backfire on you. How is it racist to question Obama's birth status when McCain's birth status was questioned by the left and he settled the matter very quickly by simply producing his birth certificate? Why didn't Obama do that? Is that a race issue? Nobody said it was a racist issue with McCain. It was a question of eligibility for the office of president. Why is it a racist issue if we raise the same question about Obama, a question Obama himself has raised, has exacerbated by his unwillingness to show his cert? The writer of this article I'm using to illustrate something going on all over the liberal progressive blogosphere and the George Soros-controlled Marxist socialist media outlets, MSM. Yeah, check it out. The guy virtually owns the MSM. Anyway, in the same article, this liberal says Obama's birth status should have been put to rest 3 years ago. Well, duh. And why was it not put to rest 3 years ago? Because Obama refused to release his long-form birth certificate. I know many of you have become turned off to the birther thing. That's the plan. I want to go on record as saying Obama is hiding the eligibility issue, or I should say his ineligibility, in plain sight, right in front of our eyes. He's putting it right in front of you while keeping your attention focused on the question of his place of birth. He's putting in front of you the fact he was born of a Kenyan father. And like I said last week, watch for the gorilla, but don't miss the changes in the color of the curtain and the backdrop, or the one basketball passer who walks off the stage in plain sight. You have to have looked at that video or that YouTube thing I mentioned last week to appreciate. He's not eligible. He knows he's not eligible. He scorns the eligibility requirement. He thinks it's prosaic. He thinks it's archaic, like many other parts of the Constitution that he despises and thinks need to be updated. You're being played for fools. Wake up. Finally, Obama has called on Israel to retreat to 1967 borders as a concession to the Philistines, that's the Palestinians over there, in order to broker a peace deal with the Middle East. This is an outrage. I remember the famous Arab-Israeli war in June of 1967. Virtually every Arab nation united together, surrounded Israel and attacked, tried to wipe her off the map. That was their stated objective, by the way. But Israel pulled off a miracle. In only 6 days, she beat them back, won the war. Three very key sections of geography were seized by Israel at that time and have been since held by her as a buffer against future attacks from her Arab brothers. These are Golan Heights, the West Bank, and Gaza Strip. Now, the Arabs who attacked Israel are claiming Israel must return control of these lands to the Arabs. And Israel is saying, well, not until we have a guarantee of security from you that we can trust. Meanwhile, the Arabs say, death to Israel, death to Israel, kill the Jews, death, 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 death. A bunch of morons. You attacked Israel, they kicked your tush, you forfeited the land, that's it. That's what it cost you. Attack again, it's going to cost you more. Back off. Make peace with your brothers. This is idiocy. Make peace with your brothers. Get along with each other over there. Good heavens. Does Obama think that this is the time to be telling Israel to retreat to June 1967 borders? Is he insane? Fatah, once thought to be a moderate Jew hater in the region, has joined forces with Hamas, a on-the-record radical Jew hater. The only good Jew is a dead Jew, that crowd, you know? And they have agreed together that Israel has no right to exist and must be destroyed. Egypt is coming under the control and influence of the Muslim Brotherhood, another organization committed to the destruction of Israel and the U.S., by the way. Saudi Arabia is snubbing its nose at the U.S., acting in clear contradiction to our concerns in Bahrain and Yemen. And did you notice Obama had nothing to say about Saudi Arabia in his speech? Oh, no. You know, he bows to Mecca. He Islams. Means he submits to Mecca, Yemen, Bahrain, Egypt, of course, Syria, Iran. Don't forget Libya now. All these are stirred up. It's boiling over and all have one common hatred. It's the old hatred, the anti-Semitic spirit. They hate the Jew. It would never be a good time to ask Israel to do something so stupid. But now of all times, to be pressuring Israel to make such a concession is asking them to put a gun to their own head and pull the trigger. It's the worst possible time to be advancing that kind of a thing. The entire Middle East is coming unraveled under his watch. He is fumbling the ball. He's setting the stage for a horrible war to take place over there. In the process, he's betraying our friend and ally. I know. Peace will settle over the land there with a general rule of freedom of religion and economic prosperity, just like the Bible says, huh? The events unfolding before us could certainly be a precursor to such a thing. It is intriguing because the Bible, you know that book? The one our founders used to guide them in principle to establish this one nation under God. That one. Anyway, it reveals that in the last days, Israel will occupy borders that reach up to Tyre and Sidon. That's in Lebanon, by the way. And will occupy all the West Bank, Golan Heights, and the Gaza Strip. Check out Genesis 49:13 just to get a cue up on that. Years ago, I mentioned that one scenario that could result in such a thing would be another massive Arab-Israeli war in which Israel will expand their borders to the configuration suggested in Jacob's prophecy of the last days in Genesis 49. And that brings us round to the beginning of our show today, does it not? Let's see. My first broadcast for this show is at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday, May 21st, 2011. Well, actually, it's posted on the web Friday at about 3 p.m. So many of my podcasters, well, actually, the podcast doesn't get it till a little bit later. But anyway, the first radio broadcast is 7:30 a.m. Saturday, and then again at noon, then on Sunday morning at 7 a.m., and then we have two or three times in various states on Monday and Tuesday. And so by the time most of you hear this, Harold Camping will be trying to explain to all of his dupe followers why he refuses to return the money he fleeced from them, using one of the oldest religious scams since Jesus warned us about the false prophets who would come in his name, deceiving many. Anyway, I'm going to be preaching a message titled, Why the End Did Not Begin, May 21st, 2011. And in that message, I'll explain what the Bible says will mark the beginning of the end. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. It's simple. You call our toll-free message hotline, 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And you just say, lights on and hang up, if you agree with what I'm saying, and lights off and hang up if you disagree. If you prefer to leave a longer message and give me some words of encouragement, or perhaps some wonderful words of enlightenment, which I often get from my listeners, or if you just want to straighten me out and ball me out, go right ahead. But if you see the lights are on, call in 1-888-770-8000 and say, lights on. If you disagree with me, call in and say, lights off, use the same number, 1-888-770-8000. If you want to contact me from outside the continent of the United States, use the brainmassageshow.com. We have a direct email that comes directly to me, and it's pastor@thebrainmassageshow.com. pastor@thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you can give me a lights on or a lights off and hang up. If you will, please leave a message. Tell me what you think of the show, positive or negative. Either way, I want to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the Lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
Does modern science disprove what the scripture says?
Welcome to Creation, Evolution, and Science Ministries with your host, Russ Miller. And now, here's Russ.
Martha emailed to ask, why don't creationists accept the evidence for Darwinian evolution, like the horse skeleton evolutionary series? Martha, there's never been a single example of Darwinian macroevolution found that's held up to scientific study. Thus, there's nothing to accept. The horse series, which supposedly depicts a short ancient horse changing into the tall modern horse, is a complete fraud, usually made up of bones from modern horses of varying ages. And though proven to be erroneous, the series is still taught in schools today. Martha, you're a victim of this false teaching, and you should be asking the Darwinists why they don't remove the frauds and bring out the real evidence of Darwinian change. The answer is that they don't have any viable evidence to show, and I cover many of their frauds in our 50 Facts versus Darwinism in the textbooks, which I hope you'll arrange to see soon. Visit us at creationministries.org to learn more.
Our DVDs and videos refute the fraudulent claim of macroevolution, including the millions of years magic ingredient. To order this life-changing information, visit the website at creationministries.org.
Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Pastor Scheinbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Gotta have more? We understand. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and massage your brain to your heart's content.